Vivian Clark and her damaging admission that she found Ray Hunt's body before Mert discovered the crime has not swayed Captain O'Toole's opinion. The tenacious head of the homicide squad still thinks Mert is the killer, and he hasn't stopped in his efforts to prove it. His latest effort is to find the gun that Clarence inadvertently brought into the theater. O'Toole thinks Mert used it to murder Hunt. Now, in just a moment, we'll hear today's chapter of the story of Mert and Mars. The show is underway at the Hayfield Theater. Backstage, Jack Arnold and Captain O'Toole are in Ray Hunt's office trying to reconstruct the crime.
You see, O'Toole, this desk is up against the center of the south wall, and the swivel chair directly in front of it.
Yeah, we got it right here on the chart.
Now, the shot could have been fired through the window, and anyone coming in the door and standing just inside the door could have shot in from there. The distance, let's see, measures about 6 feet. The distance from the window is about 18 feet.
Well, no, if you shot through the open window, chances are the person who fired the shot didn't stop to waste any words. But if the person who shot him came through the door, it probably was a conversation. At least a one-sided one.
Well, what makes you think that?
Well, because if Hunt was facing the desk and the person who shot him hadn't spoken to him, he would have shot him through the back, but through his left side.
Oh, I know, but Hunt was facing the door, see? Now, his right hand was in his coat pocket, clutching the cigarette lighter. Several chairs in this room, and none of them have been moved from their places. Now, someone could have sat in this chair on the right side of the desk and talked to Hunt. It's the one nearest the desk, you see?
But on the other hand, Arnold, if it was someone Hunt didn't know, it's logical that he would have risen from his chair to greet him.
Yeah, probably.
Now, if his wife had come in...
Yes, but she had been here.
But suppose she had gone out and come back in. Would he have risen out of his chair?
No, I think not.
Well, say the Vivian woman. Would he have stood up for her?
No, I have an idea he wouldn't even turn in his chair.
Then she could have crossed back over there, back of him there, toward the window, and into the chair on the right side of his desk.
Now, she went over to the window, see, because her glove was found directly beneath the window on the floor here. Now, after she got up from that chair, she could have gone out the same way she came in. Now, suppose she'd used the word, "Ray Hunt, I'm going to kill you." He probably would have dropped the cigarette he had in his left hand. Now, if her words startled him, he would naturally have grabbed the cigarette lighter in his right hand, and he would have turned quickly in his chair.
Well, that dope sounds pretty good, provided she used the words, "Ray Hunt, I'm going to kill you." But you'll have to get her to admit that first.
Yeah. Well, here's something else I told that might prove that Hunt must have been talking to someone. He had no work of any kind in front of him on his desk, not even a pencil or a piece of paper. And his swivel chair had been moved away from the desk, far enough for him to turn completely around. A cigarette on the floor was almost on a line with his right arm, and his left arm hung straight down over the chair this way, see?
You're right there, Arnold. What gets me is that there was a shot, and no one heard it. Not a single person heard a shot.
Well, that's possible, O'Toole. See, this is a fireproof building. The stagehands couldn't hear it if they were setting the stage. All the dressing room doors are sealed, the same as the big steel doors leading onto the stage. You can stand in this corridor outside while the show is going on, and when those doors are closed, you can't hear a sound. Now, Pat could have heard a shot if he'd been in his office, but we're quite positive that Hunt was murdered while Pat was either on his way up to Sonny Darnell's dressing room, while he was in there, or on his way back. Now, the other dressing rooms are on the west side of the basement. No one heard a shot in the rooms downstairs because those doors were closed, so it's just possible that no one did hear. After all, there was only one shot fired.
And it hit the mark, all right. Whoever did it took good aim.
If he were shot at through the open window here, no one would have heard it or paid any attention to it. Probably have thought it was a backfire from an automobile. Now, there's nothing but the blank wall of a building on the opposite side of the passageway out there.
And we can't find the gun.
Well, remember, there were two people who left the theater, Vivian and Mrs. Hunt.
Yes, and there was one person who brought a gun into the theater. It was put on the shelf down in dressing room number 10. And only one person left the dressing room after the gun was put on the shelf until the time they all heard the scream. Now, tell me something, Arnold, that I don't quite get. There was no shot heard, but the scream was heard through the corridor.
Well, that's easy to explain, O'Toole. When the shot was fired, the door to this office must have been closed. When Myrtle Spear screamed, the door was open. Overture had been called. The dressing room doors downstairs were probably open, and everybody was then ready to come up on the stage for the opening of the show.
I know you're pretty suspicious of that Vivian woman, aren't you?
Well, when I questioned her at headquarters the night of the murder, she lied about her address. Why? To give her time to think. She had every reason for hating Ray Hunt. The glove proves conclusively that she was in this room the night of the murder. Joe and Eddie found the mate for the glove in her apartment.
Seems to me Mrs. Hunt had plenty of reason to bump off her husband.
You're right, O'Toole. I think it was Mrs. Hunt or Vivian.
Well, I tell you, Arnold, you can have your own ideas, but I've got my suspicions. And I'm following them up pretty close.
If you mean Myrtle Spear, you're crazy, O'Toole. I know that girl.
That's it. You know her, and you like her. So how are we going to get the place?
Well, you follow your own ideas, and I'll work on mine.
Well, I'm going to get back to headquarters and see what evidence the boys have turned in.
No, I'll walk into the stage door.
Hello, Mr. Arnold.
Oh, hello, Margie.
Have they found out anything about this awful affair?
We're finding clues right along.
You know, Mother came down to stay with Myrtle and me. She's a great comfort to me.
Oh, well, that's fine. Nothing for you to worry about now. So where's Myrtle?
Oh, she's in there looking for the mail. She's always looking in the mailbox as if she were expecting a letter all the time.
Well, from whom, Margie?
Well, Mr. Arnold, I think she's expecting one from Mr. Sampson.
Oh.
Hello, Jerry.
Oh, hello, Myrtle. Did you get it?
What?
The letter.
What letter?
Well, the one you're expecting.
No, but there's no harm in expecting it, sir.
Uh-huh. You still like him, Myrtle?
Who?
Sam Gil Malone.
Oh, don't kid me.
Well, I've got work to do, girls. I may see you later. Bye.
It is funny, though, Margie.
What's funny, Myrtle?
That he never wrote to me.
You don't feel badly about it, do you, Myrtle?
Well, no. But why did he say he would? Oh, well, let's get along to the dressing room.
Did you hear? They took Vivian into custody as an accessory before the fact.
Yeah, but her lawyer got her out on bail.
What's an accessory?
An aid. And before the fact would mean before the murder.
I always thought an accessory was something they put on an automobile.
No, you mean the police think Vivian helped whoever did it?
Whoever did it didn't need any help.
Oh, I don't know what the police mean exactly, Margie.
You girls don't really think Vivian did it, do you?
No, they're just using her for a blind. They probably know who did it all right.
But one of those detectives asked me if I had a mouth teeth.
Well, have you, Gwen?
Well, just one little bridge over here, see? And a gold tooth.
No, isn't there some cure for her?
Oh, Rupert, here we are discussing it again, and we're not supposed to talk about this murder.
Awfully afraid, aren't you, sir?
Come in.
Hello, ladies. If you are, ladies.
Hello.
You again. Oh, come here, Clarence. Let's take a look at you. Why, girls, he's got a brand new coat.
Hey, that's beautiful.
I had to buy it. Let me tell you about it.
Oh, go ahead, Clarence.
Well, I was sitting in my room reconnoitering, and there came a knock on the door. And in walked two of those SS men, those detectives. And one of them said, "Say, Lucius, we want that coat that you got at that barber shop."
Well, why did they want it, Clarence?
Evidence, dearie, evidence.
Oh.
And they started asking me questions about that gun. And I up and told them I suspected Cora. And my dear, the things they wormed out of me.
Have you got worms, Clarence, my daughter?
When they got through with me, I was a wreck. Then they told me if I couldn't find the gun, the only thing for me to do was to help them find the murderer. So I turned lifesaver.
What flavor?
Now, whose life are you going to save, Clarence?
My own, Kate Eleanor. Oh,
so you've turned detective.
Well, it was the only thing to do. Oh, and they gave me sort of an intelligence test. I thought I didn't know my show business. One of them asked me to name 11 Shakespeare's plays.
Well, did you?
I laughingly told them 10 nights in a bar room in Hamlet.
You were so smart, Clarence.
And then they said I qualified, all right. Took the coat and left, after telling me to get on the job immediately.
What did you do then, Clarence?
Well, I stood there for a moment, shaking like an aspen leaf in a high wind, and thought of the poor fox before the hounds. Looked at the clock and suddenly realized the stores would soon be closed, so I adagioed out the door and beat it up Broadway into a store where I bought the new sport coat. Have a look on the case.
Oh,
Mert, will you hand me your mirror?
Oh, here you are, Clarence.
Thanks.
Where is it?
I'll
see
you.
Clarence
Slippenhopper
here?
Yes, he is.
Clarence Slippenhopper, the one in the headquarters.
Oh, Clarence, you broke the mirror.
Girls, it means 7 years.
See you when you get out, Clarence.
killer of Ray Hunt has turned into a grim race between Jack Arnold and Captain O'Toole. Jack thinks either Mrs. Hunt or Vivian Clark committed the murder. O'Toole is sure it is Myrtle Spear. Who killed Ray Hunt? Maybe we'll find out in the next episode of the story of Mert and Marge. This is Andre Baruch speaking.